You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Faith. Yeah. Come on, you gotta look at your wallet. Come on, ain't nothing gonna be in there. Your pocket, you can't put two pennies together. God. Call somebody. Oh, glory to God. But hallelujah.
Faith said do it.
That's right.
Woo.
Oh,
glory to God.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God, I hear you. Not this time.
Oh, glory to God. Let's drop down. No, let's go to verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good report. For by it, it's amazing that you brought that out, man of God. Go to Luke chapter 18. Go to Luke chapter 18. I tell you, it's amazing because people were, the reason why all the people started looking at one another from victory is because when you begin to share about God testifying of individuals, it was amazing because I preached on that. I shared that with the people. And so when you said it dropped in your spirit, oh glory to God, you know. And so anyways, it dropped in my spirit also. Hallelujah. And so go to, let me say this here. Go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. And daughter, let me see. Well, I'll read it. I'll read it. I'll read it. Because I want to show you a few things here. The Bible says, and he spake this parable unto a certain who trusted. Because I was talking about genuine faith.
Yes.
Because I believe that sometimes in the body of Christ, we don't necessarily know what genuine faith is. We say that, you know, I'm believing God, oh glory to God, for a new car as soon as I get my stimulus check. Well, you ain't believing God, oh glory to God, you're not believing God, you're believing in the stimulus check.
Yes.
And so sometimes we're walking around thinking that we have genuine faith. Come on. When you're really waiting on a raise on your job. Come on, somebody. You're waiting to get a job, but you're calling it faith in God when it's really not faith in God, because God can take nothing and give you something. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God, okay? All right.
Yes, God.
And so what is genuine faith? And so the Bible says that, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves. And so here's Christ. Christ got a multitude of people around him, but he wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to a certain group of people who trusted what? In themselves. Because sometimes our faith is really in ourselves or in our ability and not in the ability of God. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And in themselves that they were righteous, oh glory to God, and we trust in our righteousness and not the righteousness of God. The Bible says, and despise others, because sometimes when we're walking in self-righteousness, it literally causes us to put down other folks.
Yes.
It causes us to put other people down.
Yes.
And so because genuine faith is faith that's in God. Can I tell you something? True, genuine faith releases the power of God. Tell somebody it releases the power of God.
Yes.
And so the Bible says, verse 10, the two men went up into the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Okay, I want y'all to hear this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself.
Yes.
God, I thank thee that I am not as this other man, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So in other words, here, this prayer is not even getting off the ground, is hitting the ceiling and coming back to him, because he's not praying to God, but the Bible declares that he's praying to himself.
In vain.
Because this is a lot, I believe a lot of the body of Christ is in this state. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Well, we think that we're praying to God, but we're really praying to ourselves. We have more trust in our righteousness than the righteousness of God. You know, it's amazing, because one day I was talking to a young lady and she said, I have great faith. Now, if you're going to walk around and proclaim that you have great faith, come on, you better have some proof to go with it.
Yes.
Show me the beef. Oh, glory to God, because guess what? If God ain't testifying about your faith, come on. This is why I love verse 1 through verse 8, because there was a widow woman, come on, and she kept troubling the judge, and she stayed in that judge's face. She kept on knocking on that judge's door. Oh, glory to God. And so it caused the judge to say something. He said, let's go to verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. As a matter of fact, go to verse 5. Yet because the widow troubleth me, and this is what the judge is saying, I will avenge her, lest by continual coming she wearies me. And then verse 6 says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Come on. Because can I tell you something? Just like this man is a judge, God was a judge. Yes. The only thing is that God is not unjust. The Bible says that he was also not a respecter of persons. Yes. Well, can I tell you something? God is not a respecter of persons also, but God is a respecter of faith. Come on, somebody. Yes. And so God honors faith. Come on. Yes. God moves off of faith. And so sometimes because we're walking in faith, it almost makes it seem like God is a respecter of person, but can I say this here? God will for all to be saved and that none should be lost.
Amen.
He allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. Come on. He's not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. What is the state of your faith? Amen, somebody. What is the state of your faith? And so Jesus puts the brakes on in the middle of this parable. Oh, glory to God. In Luke 18, verse 6, it says, did you hear what the unjust judge said? Come on. Why? Because this unjust judge is testifying of her persistence.
Yes.
In the face of all doubt, in the face of the adversary,
right,
come on. She's still pressing. Come on. Oh, glory to God. She's still pressing.
Yes.
And so it even calls Jesus, because let me show you something. This is what the Lord said, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find, and the Amplified Version says, persistent faith on the earth. Here's God, here's the Lord testifying of this woman's faith.
Yes.
She didn't have no help. Didn't have a husband. Sometimes it seemed like you all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Here she is all by herself, but God was testifying.
Yes.
Of her faith.
Jesus. What a testimony. What a
testimony. Glory to God.
My God.
I don't know if I want to stay too long over there, but let me say this here. You know, I tell you what. Let's go back over to the Book of Hebrews. I'm just running. I'm just trying to be led by the Lord. We're here and there and everywhere. Hallelujah. Can God testify about your faith?
Amen.
What is God saying about your faith? Oh, glory to God. And so the Bible says that by it, by what? By faith.
Yes.
The elders obtain a good report.
Yes.
The elders obtain a good report. In other words, let me say this here. Folks was testifying about their faith.
Yes.
Folks was talking about their faith. They were honoring them. They were saying things about them, man of God, because guess what? They stayed in faith. Come on. They was performing signs and wonders and miracles. Come on. They stayed faithful. They stayed on their knees. Come on, somebody. And so they obtained a good report. Amen, yes. Somebody. Oh, glory to God. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is a testimony to their faith. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
The Bible says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed,
yes,
by the word of God.
Yes.
That the worlds, not just a world, but the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word of God. What God spoke. What God said. Come on. What God was saying. Can I tell you something? Oh, glory to God. See, we're in this building. And in this building, you can't see the framework. It's invisible. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You're seeing the walls, but there's something behind the walls. There's something over us. There's framework. And this framework was formed. Oh, glory to God. And so we can see the walls, but we can't see the framework. It's holding the place up. It's invisible. Come on, somebody.
Come on, Jesus.
And we can't see it.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? You can frame your world.
Yes.
Because I believe that we're in a time, we're in a dispensation where God is saying, stop waiting on me to say something and you say something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stop waiting on me to do something and you do something.
Yes,
oh, glory to God.
Yes,
you step out like this man of God who stepped out on faith,
yes,
concerning this plaza. You do something.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I was sharing, I believe, when we were down south, and I said, you know, it'd be pretty sad if I'm 10, 11, 12 years old, I'm still waiting on my mom to come and make my cornflakes.
Amen.
It came a time when my parents expected me do something,
yes,
and not to sit around,
yes,
and to wait,
yes,
on them. And
yes,
this is what's going on in the body of Christ. A lot of us are sitting around waiting on,
yes,
God, and God is saying, I'm waiting on you. Come,
yes,
on.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. God,
yes,
said that you shall decree a thing.
Yes.
You shall decree a thing.
Yes.
You shall say something.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. What are you decreeing? What,
yes,
are you saying? What are you opening your mouth and saying? Hallelujah. It's not that you're supposed to go with the mainstream. You can hear. Yes, we're going to hear what they're saying, but even as you hear what they're saying, you speak against it. Come on.
Yes.
You legislate. Come on.
Yes.
My God,
yes,
you speak and say what you want it to be. What,
yes,
this.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
Glory to God.
Right.
You have the ability to legislate.
Yes, sir.
I don't,
yes,
think,
sir,
we know that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory to God. There's times, sometimes when I'm sitting there and I'm watching, excuse me, the news, and they're saying, oh, we're going to implement this law. They're trying to implement. Oh, glory to God. Are you saying something? Are you speaking against it?
Yes.
Are you just sitting there getting mad? Oh, glory to God. We're not fighting flesh and blood.
Amen.
But spirits and principalities, wickedness,
yes,
in high places.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we have the ability, oh, glory to God, to frame our world.
Yes, sir.
That even as the enemy, let me see, how can I say this? That even as the enemy, you done frame your world. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Have a beautiful wife, wonderful kids,
yes,
great grandson,
yes,
business. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm speaking life into it.
Yes,
oh, glory,
yes,
to God. I speak,
yes,
life into,
yes,
my marriage,
yes,
life into my business. Come,
yes,
on, somebody.
Yes.
Life into my sons. I decree and declare over them.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God, that they shall live and not die,
yes,
that the seed of the righteous,
yes,
shall be saved. Do you know that,
yes,
the Bible says,
yes,
the seed of the righteous shall be saved?
Yes.
I, you know, can I say something? I believe that we're destroyed. Our children are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because we're not saying that. We're calling them bad. Come on, somebody.
Yep.
Okay, we're saying that just like their daddy, instead of saying the seed of the righteous,
yes,
shall be saved. It's a,
yes,
promise.
Yes.
Come on. We need to speak it. We need to declare it. We need to cause it to be an invisible frame. Guess what? People can't see that around my son, but guess what? The devil in the spirit realm is bouncing off of the seed of the righteous,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
shall be saved. Come on. It's the framework that's behind the wall. You can see the wall, but you can't see, oh, glory to God, the framework. What kind of framework are you putting around your children?
Jesus.
Ooh, glory to God.
Jesus.
Come on. See, a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with and we're going through is because we're not saying anything. And sometimes we're in stuff longer than what we need to be. Why? Because we're not saying anything.
Yes.
We're waiting on the pastor to say it.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
We're waiting on our prayer partner to say it. Oh, glory to God. And God is sitting around waiting on you to say something.
Yes.
If you ain't got 2 pennies in your pocket, oh, glory to God, you need to start saying the wealth of the wicked is laid up for me, and I possess it now. Come on.
Yes.
You need to glean off of it. You need to say something with it. Oh, glory to God. You need to say wealth and riches are in my over men give into my bosom. Come on, somebody. Millionaires and billionaires, give into my bosom. Come on. The marketplace, give into my bosom. Doctor's office, lawyer's office, TV, radio, give into my bosom. Come on. What are you saying?
Come on.
You need to personalize that thing.
Yes.
You need to add something to it. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. We need to stop talking about what these people are doing on our jobs. Come on, somebody. And start declaring, I'm the head on this job and not the tail. I'm above on this job and not beneath. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We got a person in here who's gotten in about a year and a half time, about what, 4 promotions? I won't call the person's name.
Raises.
Okay, promotions. How many promotions? One promotion? Okay, I thought of more than that. Oh, glory to God. But anyway, so as a matter of fact, I had to get on them because they were turning down promotions at one time. Giving them away. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I ain't trying to throw nobody under the bus, but I'm just saying that promotions were coming.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Why? Because guess what? We were speaking over their lives.
Yeah.
We were speaking this over our congregation. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Me and my wife, when we get up in the morning time, see, we expect the people of God to prosper. Come on.
Yes.
We expect the marketplace to give into their bosom. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Nissan just gained $10,000 into a couple of bosoms in this place. Come on, somebody. They wasn't trying to give them $10,000, but what? We were saying that businesses, car dealerships, realtors, give into their bosom.
Yes.
Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. You can legislate.
Yes.
You can dictate some things. You can call some things. Saying in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, maybe I should be saying, what are we saying? What are we not saying? What are we not saying? Oh, glory to God. What are we not decreeing and declaring on our way to work? We get there and everything's jacked up and we wonder why it's jacked up because you ain't saying nothing. You ain't pronounced. You haven't set the atmosphere. You haven't changed the spiritual thermostat. Come on. You haven't dealt with the climate.
Yes.
Come on your job.
Yes.
In your home.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? When early on and when me and my wife was married, come on, somebody, we wouldn't be getting along. I didn't wait until I got home. Come on, somebody, to pray. Oh, glory to God. I prayed on the way to work. Come on.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I set the climate. I set the atmosphere.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Before I got home,
yes.
You have that ability to set an atmosphere.
Yes. Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Ooh, glory to God.
Thank you.
You can frame your world.
Yes.
If God did it, you're created in his image. Come on.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. You have the same ability.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Jesus said, I say what I hear my daddy say.
Yes.
And I do what I see my daddy do.
Yes.
Come on. I say what I hear my daddy say. Are you saying? You're saying that Father God, oh, glory to God, is your daddy. Come on. Are you doing what your daddy is doing?
Yes.
Are you saying what your daddy is saying?
Yes.
Or are you saying what the enemy is saying? Glory to God.
Praise God.
All right. Now, verse 4. We're going to wrap it up. I'm going to go any further than verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. A more excellent sacrifice. I was telling the people today that, oh, glory to God, let me finish reading this entire verse, and then Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gift. Come on. God testified about his gift, and by it being dead, yet speaking. God had to stop and testify about his gift.
My God.
I was sharing with the church today that I said, you know, I noticed something, you know. There are times when, you know, God, when you look in the Bible, you see that, you know, there's a pattern of giving. Oh, glory to God. In the book of Leviticus, God created a book that spoke mostly about money. The book of Leviticus, God told them what to bring, where to bring, why to bring. He said, don't bring me no dead, beat down sheep. Come on. Because he know that we'll have the nature of doing that.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And also, there's times when God will challenge you. I remember there's been times when God has challenged me to give an offering so big my knees were shaking. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. My knees were made, but me and my wife are still benefiting from what we sold. Oh, glory to God. We're still benefiting from that today. But then there's times when God literally gives instructions. It's not so much about how much you give, but it's about an instruction. Oh, glory to God. To see if you'll do it the way God said to do it. Amen, somebody. And so there have been times when God has given me instructions. Can I tell you something? Early on in our ministry, you know, praise God, it seemed like that, my God, I was the bus driver. I mean, I didn't have a bus, so I was running to and fro and picking up people. And I was like, God, you got to do something about this. And so the Lord simply spoke in my spirit and said, you know what? And just tell the people to get envelopes, cut out pictures. Oh, glory to God. Put $10 in the envelope and turn it in. And that's what I did. That was a particular person who was kind of feisty anyways. And they said, well, that's not the way God told me to do it. And I said, well, you do it the way God told you to do it. God ain't the author of confusion. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody the proof is in the pudding. Got mad and stormed at the church, and I was telling the people. People begin to pull up. I was sharing with the church this morning. I said we had one mother pull up in a Hummer, yes. And she was only about this tall. She pulled up in a Hummer, and people begin to God begin to bless the people with cars. Come on, yes. With transportation,
yes.
Just because they followed the instructions. There have been times when God has given me instructions. A lot of times our miracles are wrapped up instructions. If Naaman would have dipped six times, come on somebody, he would still be a leper today.
Yes.
So there's simply sometimes when God give us financial instructions.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And the man of God didn't tell me to do this, but I know that there are people that are listening by Facebook, and they're listening by radio. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you to give an offering with 19 in it. Whether you give an offering of $1,000 and 19 cents. Whether you give an offering of $500 and 19 cents. 19 is the number of faith. Whether you give an offering of $10 and 19 cents. Oh, glory to God. I want to challenge you, and if you're sitting here and you don't have any money in your pocket, I will give you 19 cents. Amen, somebody. The Bible says that God give seed to the sower, the sow.
Yes.
Because 19 is the number of faith. Oh, glory to God. And sometimes our faith need to go to another level. And I didn't really go all into the genuine faith, but you know, I was telling the people, I said, you know, as a minister, as a preacher, if I went out, come on, and I decided to preach my favorite message, that's humanism, that's faith in my soul, that's faith in my ability and not in the ability of God. Ooh, glory to God. And so even I want to challenge the people here, get an offering with 19 in it. I thank God that I got givers at Victory International Praise. Get an offering. Hallelujah. You can even pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to give? I learned to do that long ago.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I was sitting up in the church, and I worked out on the Space Center. And at this time, I don't know if I had my wallet in the car or what, but I had $10 in my pocket, and I had to go to work. I had my badge. Oh, glory to God. And so... you know how it is when you plan on getting change. And so the Lord said, give that $10. And I was like, man, he gave me some instructions. Oh, glory to God. Because, you know, if you have a tendency of praying and asking God, because sometimes the needs aren't met, because guess what? We don't pray. We don't ask God. And I'll tell you something. When you begin to learn to pray and ask God, what would you have me to give? Come on. You'll find out real quick that you can't outgive God. Come on, stuff will happen. I was sitting up in a restaurant one day, and the Lord said, give the waitress, I don't know if it was $5 or $10. Give the waitress $5 or $10 for a tip. You know, apparently she needed it. But as I obeyed God and gave what God told me to give, how about somebody came over and picked up my check? In an instant. That's what you call when the reaper overtakes the sower. How does that verse of scripture go? In other words, it happens so quick. There are times when things happen so quick just by simply obeying instructions. And so even as I was in church and I put the $10 in the offering, there was a person there that I had literally given up on. You know how it is. You know, they owe you money, and you don't ever expect to see it. They done seen you 100 times. They smile in your face. Come on, but they don't never. You just done gave up on it.
Yes.
And it had been a long time. I put it that way. But when I obeyed God and I released the 10, God released the money that was owed me. Come on, the person walked up to me. I didn't even know how I was going to get gas to get to church. I mean, to get to work. And the person walked up to me and gave me the money that they owed me. I had money for lunch. I had money for breakfast. I had money for gas. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Why? Because I obeyed the instructions. People don't understand. People, a lot of times in the body of Christ, we don't understand the power of instruction.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning into Kingdom Sounds broadcast. We pray you enjoyed the word today, and if you would like to sow, you can do so at Zelle 321-213-1218 or Cash App at VIP Ministry 250. If you'd like for us to partner with you in prayer, please call us at 321-514-9679. Our service times is Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and we are located at 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. We pray we'll see you there.
Welcome
God bless.
To Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Throughout church history, some of the greatest heresies have come from those who deny that Jesus is God. They don't believe he's the second person of the Trinity, eternal God without beginning or end. Well, since the eternality of Christ is clearly taught in Scripture, it's understandable why one of our listeners paused when he read Romans 8:29, which calls Jesus the firstborn among many brethren. Well, John, help us understand that phrase. If Jesus has always existed, why would Paul call him the firstborn?
Yeah, that's a very important question to answer, and it comes back to the fact that in the Greek language, the word that is translated firstborn is the word prototokos. And in reality, it is not enumerating the order of birth, and it is not necessarily even affirming birth. It is a word that means preeminent. It is the preeminent one. And what Romans 8:29 is saying is that among all men, Jesus is the preeminent one. So the borrowing of language that usually refers to the preeminent son in a family is consistent with all kinds of anthropomorphic uses of words to describe God. You know, God is in the Old Testament presented as a fire. God is presented in the image of a bird being protective under his wings. Those are metaphors. And even the idea of the firstborn, the premier one, borrowed from human language, emphasizes the exaltation of Christ. He is the preeminent one.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from Romans or to ask your question, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.